Hello, can you hear me okay? Everybody okay? Yep. All right, please go ahead and turn to your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Eric, I'm going to switch microphones. I don't feel comfortable. Testing, 1, 2, 3, okay? Yes, okay, good. Hebrews 11, 1 through 16, while you're turning there, definitely I would encourage you to have your own Bible, your own Bible app open. It's very likely that I will reference scripture that's not in the bulletin or not up on the screen, so definitely have the Bible open in your own hand. Also, just so thankful for the testimonies today. I really feel mo, ippai, manzoku. I'm full. I feel like, what's the point of a sermon today? We have so many great testimonies from Tim. Welcome back with your beautiful family. And also, great to hear from Art and Terry. Very moved. Yes and amen to everything you're saying. For Joshua to Art, also just Pastor Kevin and I, we always want more missionaries, more preachers and teachers, evangelists, whatever, that would come, work, serve, live, be planted, and just come. And so, like I said, I'm full. I'm done. So let me just have a few minutes to just teach from Scripture, and then we're out. Okay, let you out in the rain today. So, okay, while we're reading, just a bit of a preview of upcoming attractions. The climax of what we will read is at the end of our passage, from verse 13 to verse 16. The title of the passage is The Faith of Our Senpai. And in Japanese, senpai, for those of you who know, senpai is the one who is in the grade above you, the grade before you. If you graduated in 2017, your senpai is the class of 2016, 15, 14, like that, right? That's the senpai. So we're going to read about five of our senpai of the faith. But the point is not about their faith in particular. The point is about verse 13 through 16. We're going to get there. So I'll begin from verse 1 through 7. I'll read the first half. Please join me at the second half at verse 8. Okay. So hear now the word of the Lord. Faith. Oh, okay. Yeah, different version. It's okay. Here we go. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. And by faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. And by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And by faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Let's read together. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. And by faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The very words of God. Amen? Well, just four things about the faith of our senpai. And they all start with one letter to help me remember. So there's four things. One is faith in the faith of our senpai, the faith that they had. Well, let me back up real quick. If you're in your Bible and you go back one page to chapter 10, somewhere around verse 32, verse 31, it talks about these Hebrew Christians in the first century. What happened was they became Christians, and when they first believed, there was joy. There was gladness and fellowship. But also, there was difficulty and persecution. So, workers, co-workers, companies, family members began to say, "You're different from us? Who do you think you are? You reject us? No, no, no. We reject you." And not only would they get this sort of, you know, relationship rejection, they would get even political and social rejection. The city or the government would say, "Well, if you don't worship our God, and you say that this Jesus is God, then you don't belong to our city. Your property is our property." And their property would get confiscated. It's right there in chapter 10, right? Some of them, early Christians, would go to jail. And so now these Christians, their friends, their church members, maybe their pastor is in prison. They're losing their home or their house, their land. And you know what they did? "He's going to prison. I'm going to visit him in prison. I'm going to be one of them because I am one of him. Oh, You want to laugh at them? You can laugh at me. Oh, you want to fire them? I'm fired too. But there was this fellowship amongst them that we suffered together. But for other members of the church, this was too much. This was too much. And they begin to doubt. And they begin to think, I don't know if I can continue with being a Christian. Losing property, going to prison, being rejected. This might be too much, and I don't know if I can continue. And so the author of this book wrote this letter. No. You can continue. You don't have to go back to being Jewish, the old covenant, Mosaic law, because Jesus is superior. Jesus the high priest. Jesus the sacrifice. Jesus the greater Moses. Jesus the temple. And that's all Hebrews chapter 1 through 10. So we come to chapter 11, and the Hebrew, the author is saying, not only is Jesus the fulfillment of all of this, therefore you can stay with him, but we are not those who belong to the ones who shrink back. That's in the last verse of chapter 10, verse 36, I think. But we belong to those who have faith and are saved. Now, who are those that we belong to? Chapter 11. And what does it mean to have faith? Chapter 11, verse 1. And so the faith of our senpai has four qualities that will help you and me understand I can stay a Christian. I can keep believing. I don't have to throw away Jesus Christ. These four qualities of faith of our senpai. The first quality is faith is reasonable. Faith is rational. Faith is a thinking thing. See, some people would say, no. See, I'm a person of science, education. You have faith. That's fine. Faith, there's faith, and then there's reason, right? There's religion, and then there's science. And they say these they don't belong in the same room. And that's what you often see. The Bible says, no. The Bible says you don't have faith without reason. Faith is rational. That's from page one of the Bible. That word in verse one, here it is. Verse one. It says, confidence in what we hope for, and the second word, assurance about what we do not see, right? In verse 1. That word assurance, that's a word that's only used in the Bible one time, in that, right there. And that word is very difficult to translate. The other translations, the old translations, they would say it's the proof, a proof of what you don't see. It's the evidence. Another way that you would translate that word is validation through evidence, through what you reason out. And if you look at verse 3, by faith we understand. Another word for understand is think, reason. Faith is reasonable. Skip down to verse 11. Verse 11. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful. She was thinking. She put A and B, and then she came up with C, considered God to be faithful. Skip down to verse 19, if you have your own Bible. And it says in verse 19, talks about, I can't remember, was it Moses? Abraham, what? Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. That's right there. That's faith.
What verse
is it? 19. Abraham reasoned logically. You know, we have here, I'm not going to say your names, I didn't ask for permission, but we have here some research scientists. One of my favorite people to pray with in this church is a research scientist. About 10 years at this English service, they've already gone back home. Some of you know who they are. I'm not going to say his name because he probably would not like that. But he's not here, so I'm going to talk about him. But for 10 years, one of our members was one of the world's leading scientists in the area of skin cancer. And he came to Hiroshima because he was the head of Columbia University's skin research. He was the first member I ever Googled at church. Like, I don't Google you, okay? But this one guy, I thought, why is he going off to Europe and going off to Washington, D.C., and going off to all these world conferences on his scientific research? Who is it? I Googled him, right? And he had this degree, that PhD, this doctorate. He had more degrees than Fahrenheit and Celsius compared, right? This guy was smart. He was science. If I could think of a scientist, this man. Loved to come to church, Bible study, prayer meetings, playing on the worship team, moderating. Science and reason and faith are not things that are separate. They come together. And the faith of our senpai, the ones who stuck through and didn't leave Jesus, were thinking through. Listen to me. If you're thinking, I don't know if I could do this anymore. I don't know if I can keep up this faith. The Bible is saying, you're not thinking enough. Think more. Reason it out. You know, some people say, atheists, people who don't believe in God, they'll say, you know, you cannot prove that God exists reasonably, logically. But here's also the other side of the truth. They're right, actually. The other side of the truth is, you cannot prove reasonably, logically, that God does not exist. The best philosophers over all of the centuries both understand. Reasonably, logically, you can't prove the existence of God. Reasonably, logically, you can't prove the non-existence of God. What am I saying? Everybody has faith, even the atheist. It takes more faith not to believe in God. It's easy for a child to trust in God. They know this. They believe it. It takes education, reassignment, it takes brainwashing and all that stuff to finally think, yeah, there's no God here. Because all of us know in our heart of hearts, we know this. Why? Because it makes sense. Verse 3. By faith, we understand the universe was formed at God's command. What is seen was not made out of what was visible. I look at the order and not only the order, but the majesty, the beauty, the glory of everything out there, and I have to understand. I have this iPad. You take apart this iPad, you look with microscopes, and you understand this thing was made by a human. There's lines and there's cracks, and you get down further enough, it's not very beautiful. It's nice and pretty on the outside, but you open it up, it's not that pretty. But you look at a leaf, you look at an insect, you go further and further down into the insect or the leaf, it's more beautiful. It's more complex. And you understand, wait, there is something here that made this. That word understand in verse 3, same word in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. We look at creation and we understand two things about God: His eternal power and His divine nature. So all of creation testifies, all of created order shows us what is visible is made from something invisible. And that makes sense. That's all I could say more, but we'll leave it at that. The faith of our senpai makes sense. It's reasonable, rational. Second thing, the faith of our senpai goes further than that. It just doesn't go, oh, yeah, okay, I'll get it, all right. Stars, sun, moon, mountains, trees, order, right? Chitsujo, okay? Okay, there's a God, sure. But the faith of our senpai goes further and understands it's not just reasonable. Faith is relational. It's about a relationship with the one who made. Where am I getting this? Verse 4. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain. And then it talks about Enoch, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life. What is the author trying to show us here? Because it's kind of confusing. Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, second son, he brought God an offering. His older brother, Cain, brought God an offering. So two brothers come to church. Two brothers come to worship God. One brother is coming by faith. The other brother is coming for duty, gimu. It's got nothing to do with worship. Cain thought, God, I'm giving you this. Therefore, God, you should give me something in return. It's nothing to do with faith. It's got everything to do with me. And my will, and my worth, and my offering. Abel said, God, you've given me everything. My work, my family, my life. I'm going to give this to you in thanksgiving, in worship, believing that my righteousness is not from what I earn. My righteousness is what you gave to me. I believe, I trust in your righteousness for me. Let me offer this to you by faith. It was a relationship. Abel could care less about God. Cain could care less about God. Cain wanted God's blessing and God's gifts. No, Abel wanted God. There's a difference. That's the faith of our senpai, Abel. Enoch. It says in Genesis chapter 5, Enoch was a man who walked with God. Beautiful illustration. When you walk with somebody, it means you have a relationship with them. There was a Sunday school girl, and she put it very simply, better than any theologian. She said, Enoch was a man who loved to go on long walks with God, because he walked with God. And one day, he walked so far, God said, Enoch, no need to go back. You just stay with me forever. I don't know. Sounds right to me. Didn't have to go back. It was a relationship. It wasn't just, okay, there's God. No. God is calling me. Every single one of you here who became a Christian, not through your mother or father, you're a Christian not because of your... You're a Christian. If you became a Christian when you grew up after you were an adult, you understand, don't you? I heard there was a God, but one day, God wanted to know me. Not just out there, but in here, right? For those of you who came to Jesus as an adult. Oh, I love those kinds of Christians. The ones who said, ah, this God is more important to me than all these other things. There's a call. It's a personal call. That's the faith of our senpai, Abel and Cain. And it doesn't have to be one day. There was a man from Philadelphia. He was the Surgeon General of the United States. I can't remember his name. In his biography, he wrote, he went to church not because he wanted to. He started going to church because his wife said, you have to come to church with me. So he started coming to church with his wife. He didn't care about religion or anything. But after a year, listening to the preaching, the sermons, and all the Bible teaching, after 1 year he realized, wait a minute, I believe this. Wait a minute. Jesus is not their God. Jesus is my God. And he realized. And it could be the same for some of us here. For me, it was one day. I remember it clear as day. When God said, Christian Habakon, you are mine. I said, okay. But for some of us here, you could just wake up one morning and thought, wait a minute, I belong to Jesus now. I need to get baptized. Because it's not just reasonable or rational, it's relational. The faith of Abel and Cain, or excuse me, Abel and Enoch. But it goes further than that. Further than that, it goes even deeper. It says faith is not just rational, it's relational, but also the faith of our senpai is in a very real reality. Where are you going, Chris? Let me show you. Let's go down. There you go. So there's Noah, and yeah, okay. So there's Noah, and then there's Abraham. Noah and Abraham weren't just talking about God. They weren't just thinking about God. They were living for God. C.H. Spurgeon, he said, there's no good Christians who have a mind and mouth faith. The best Christians are the ones with hands and feet faith. The best Christians are the ones who live in day by day, serving, walking, doing their faith, not just thinking and talking about their faith. Those are the best. What are we talking about? So here's Noah. God says, Noah, I'm done with the world. The problem is, I promised your great-grandmother, Eve, that her seed would save the world. So I'm going to save the world through you. Your seed, which comes from Eve. And so here's Noah, right? And here's how it relates to us. Here's Noah. He's building this massive ark, not a boat, an ark. It takes over 100 years. It could be 120 or 140, 150. I can't remember. Over 100 years. Got a hammer in his hand. Boom. Boom. Noah, what are you doing? God told me to build it. What are you doing, Noah? God said there's going to be rain. What is rain? We talk about rain. Well, because there's going to be rain and we're going to need a big ark. What is an ark? You see, those words, rain and ark, in those times, they didn't exist. Noah could have just been saying, I need to build a blah, because one day there's going to be a ugh, right? Just completely for, that's how people think of Christians. Have you noticed? You believe that a man lived perfectly? You believe that a man died and was risen from the dead 3 days after? You, Christian, you believe that there is a book that's absolutely perfect and without fault? You believe that there's only two genders, male and female? Are you living in the 21st century? Don't you know that there are LGBT? Don't you know that you can be married to a man and a woman? You believe this? Noah, I'm building something. And they're laughing at him, they're ridiculing him, and Noah's building. Hands and feet faith. Hands and feet faith. And then there's Abraham. Here's the thing about Abraham. Abraham has a good life, actually. He's in Iraq, called Chaldee. And he has a nice family, nice house, nice property, hundreds of gods all around him. But the one God says, Abraham, Genesis chapter 12, Abraham, follow me. Abraham, go, get out. And Abraham says, where do I go? God says, I'll tell you later, just go. So he goes, right? And then he gets to Canaan, a couple thousand miles away, and God says, Abraham, settle down. And Abraham says, where? God says, I'll tell you later, just keep walking around here. He's living in tents, herding sheep and goats. God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham says, I'm 99, my wife is 90, how is this going to happen? I'll tell you later, just wait, right? He has the son. A few years later, God says, Abraham, I need you to go up to the mountain, sacrifice your son. Abraham says, why? I'll tell you later, just go. Four times in his life, God doesn't say where, when, how, or why. But Abraham still goes, and he still obeys. If you read the Hebrews chapter 11, I love it, I love it, I love it. It says, by faith, so-and-so obeyed. By faith, so-and-so built. By faith, so-and-so preached. By faith, so-and-so gave. By faith, so-and-so received. By faith has hands and feet, and faith is doing all these things, even though we didn't know what. Why? Because faith understands all these things that the world can offer are not real. There's no foundation. There's no security. There's no status. The only reality worth knowing and living and walking under is the ultimate reality of God. And so Abraham has family, he has a mansion, he has property. It's not real. It's not enough. And so I'm going to go. Because the reality of the voice telling me to go is more real than all this stuff. And we have all these little realities in our life. We think if we have enough likes on Facebook, we're important. It's not real. There's only one like that really matters. Amen? And we think, okay, this job will afford me this life, and I'll have this whatever, and that's going to be my security. That's not security. You can have this insurance, that same ahokan, this idiohokan, and that. It's not security. There's one security. Because that's the one that's... Look, You can have complete order in your life, but without God, you're a complete mess. But you can have complete chaos in your life, but if with God, you'll be just fine, right? I love the Old Testament, the old translation, the King James Version. Abraham, it says there in verse 8, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He did not know where he was going. The old King James, it says, he knew not whither he was going. That's just a great word, whither. Whither. Who says that? Nobody says that, but it's a great word. He knew not whither he was going, but he knew with whom he was going. And that was enough. That was his faith. Okay, we got to get out of here. I'm going too long. Faith of our senpai is reasonable, relational, real, hands and feet. Now, some of you could be thinking, Chris, it's very nice, good sermon, good points. I don't know if I can do that. I really don't know if it's worth all of that. And here's the thing. I don't know if I'm going to last that long. I don't really think I have the ability to make it to the end. There's an answer. There's an answer. In fact, you probably won't make it to the end. Because we read in verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. It didn't happen. God didn't give it to them. What are we talking about? Abraham, Noah, Abel, Sarah, they understood God would save them. Jesus said in John chapter 8, Abraham rejoiced when he saw my day coming. Abraham understood by faith, God is going to save me. God is going to save me. It's not my own righteousness. It's not my own goodness. It's not my own riches or education or religion that's going to save me. God is going to save me through some kind of sacrifice. God is going to provide. That's what God taught him on that mountain. And so he understood, I'm looking for that day. 2,000 years later, Jesus came and provided what Abraham, Abel, Noah, Sarah, David, Samuel, Daniel, all of them were looking forward to. Jesus Christ. And so here's your answer. Chris, okay, I get it. I look at all the Old Testament heroes and all the good, they shut the mouths of lions, they conquered armies, and you know, they faced all these difficulties. I'm supposed to be like them. That's not the point. It's not the point. The faith of our senpai, there's a play on words. The Japanese word for senpai, I just explained it to you. But for those of you who know Japanese, typically Japanese does not separate plural and singular, right? Tansuke, fukusuke, isho, the same. So senpai in chapter 11 is all of those heroes. And in chapter 12, verse 1, we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, senpai. It's not that they're looking at us and, hey, go Chris, yay, good for you. No, it's not what it means. The senpai are saying, we testify, we witnessed God doing something in our life. And we testify that God doing something in our life will promise that God will do something in your life. How? Chapter 12, verse 2. You don't look at your senpai. You look at your senpai. Did you catch that? You don't look at your senpais, plural. You look at your senpai, singular. Hebrews 12, chapter 2. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and finisher of our faith. Amen? That's how we run. That's how we finish. We finish because he finished for us. He started it for us. He's going to finish it for us. He brought us in, and he's going to bring us through. How do I have perseverance? How do I endure? How do I have the ability to keep going forward, step by step? It's because he did it for me. And better in his hands than mine. So here's what I do. Here's what I do. I take this little thing in my hand, my life. Whatever it's worth. This little issue. You know, this little crisis. Here's what life is for a Christian. You ready? This is life as a Christian. Ready, get ready. Life as a Christian is this. One crisis after the next. Yeah, amen. And here's what it is. God is saying, you're going to obey or you're not. And every time I bring you through these things, your faith gets stronger and you get perseverance. And you get character, and character leads to hope. And faith is the assurance of what we hope for. That's the Christian life. You say, Chris, no, I'm fine. I don't have those problems. Just keep living. Just keep on living. And you're going to get them. Crisis after crisis, test after test, obedience after obedience, after faith after obedience. And how do you get through those? You look to Jesus, who learned obedience through what he suffered. So we come to the cross today at this very time. And we say, Jesus, I need you today. I need you more today than I needed you yesterday. I need you more tomorrow than I will today. I abide in you because apart from you, I can do nothing. You are my great senpai. And it's not that I have the faith. It's that you are faithful to the very end. And I give everything to you. What's your issue? What is it? What's the crisis? What's the obedience? What is it? Once more, right here, right now, bring it to the throne. I can't go into specifics. You have the specifics. But Jesus has all the answers. So I want to just take you with me. Come to the cross with me. Come kneel at the cross with me. God is a consuming fire. And we say, I will lay myself down at the throne of God, at the altar, to be a living sacrifice, to consume me completely. And that will be my act of worship. That will be my act of faith, same as my senpai. So let's go to the cross. Come with me. Let's pray. Yes, Lord. Therefore, as we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race marked out for us. Let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him suffered on the cross, scorning its shame. So we fix our eyes on you, Lord Jesus. We are wounded. You are the great healer. We are naked. You clothe us in your righteousness. We are weak, but by your Spirit we are strong. We are lonely, but your presence is with us. We are hungry, but your word is the bread of life. We are thirsty, but your living water satisfies our soul to the very bottom. And Lord, you are our, as we sang today, you are my hope. And faith is the confidence in that hope and the assurance of things not seen. Father, my faith is weak, but the object of my faith is strong. And so I'm glad that it does not depend on me, but it all depends on you, Lord Jesus. I pray for each one here who testified. I pray for each one here who is silent. I pray for each one here who in their heart of hearts is crying out to you. Lay your hand upon them, O God. Strengthen the arms that are weak. Strengthen the knees that are feeble, ready to buckle. Establish the faith of those who are almost burning out, O God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that as you do these things, you will encourage those, Lord, who need encouragement. That, Father, as we go from this place, there would be a light, an air, a freedom, a song, a wind at our back, an ease at which we can live this life because you have lived it for us. I pray this, O God. I pray this, O God, because I know it glorifies you. I know this is what you desire. I know this is your good, perfect, and pleasing will. I pray this for us, O God. So would you hear our prayers? In Jesus' name, amen.